Today, YouTube announced that you can now pay to get your comments seen on your favorite live streaming YouTuber. Super Chat, that's what it's called. It's a new tool that lets you pin your comment to the top of a live stream for a price. So if you want a 350-character message to stay up for 5 hours, that will cost you a mere $500. But if your YouTuber ends the live stream and starts another, your comment that you paid $500 for does not transfer to the new stream. Super Chats are non-refundable. What do you think of this way for creators to make money, Scott?
I'm pro creators finding new ways to make money or to, you know, to sustain themselves and create more content. I think that is always a good thing. This strikes me as a little odd. I don't want to. This is me. I'm gonna have a disclaimer here. I don't want to judge this too harshly. However, somebody who would pay what amounts to $100 an hour for 5 hours to have their comment up top, I don't know if I ever want to meet them in person. I mean, it feels just a little extreme to me. And so I'm going to try to take that out of the equation for a second and just look at the sort of, you know, the dollars and cents of this. That is true that you're seeing this kind of happen across the board. You know, the cheer system that they now have over at Twitch is kind of interesting, where you can, you know, buy these bits and essentially create, cheers while people are streaming, and that costs money as well. Of course, subbing to channels has been a thing that Twitch has been doing for a long time. They've been very much experimenting with ways to monetize channels and help creators, do well that way. But I don't know. I feel like we're in experiment mode big time. And this one is very experimental to me. So the idea of paying for a comment so that somebody sees it, I just worry that it feeds into a certain part of internet fan culture that can border on the obsessive. And I don't know that feeding that is a good idea in the long run. So it's hard for me to take the psychology out of it. But hey, on the other hand, if people are willing to pay the money, then why the heck not? Usually it's a numbers game. If you have enough people there for your live streams, or you have enough people commenting on your videos because you're a big enough YouTuber or whatever, you're playing a game with averages where somebody somewhere is going to give you $500 for 5 hours of exposure. And I guess more power to you. But it is, for whatever reason, this specifically feels a little bit odd to me. It's a little like, I guess it's not that different than saying, well, I want better seats at a concert. So or let's say a sports thing, I'm going to pay extra money so I can be in a box seat where I've got people bringing us food all day and I've got perfect shot of the entire arena or whatever. Is that much different than this? Probably not. It's just that this one just feels like you're all up in my personal space. So I don't know. I keep going back to that saying, I don't want to go back to that, but I feel like you can't have a conversation without at least mentioning that this feels just a little on the creeper side to me.
So you have a Twitch channel, a Frog Pants Twitch channel, frogpants.com/Twitch. How does the cheer system work there?
Well, so this is fun because I've used Twitch for a long time for game streaming and stuff like that, but I'm really going for it at the moment for a couple of reasons. One, a week or two ago, Twitch came out, made an announcement that, hey, we are bringing, I mean, these weren't their words, but we're essentially bringing the Justin TV back into the fold. In other words, if you do something that is not gaming related, whether it be like I do a lot of podcasts all day or more recently or somewhat recently, they started adding creative back, which meant if you were drawing things or creating or building things, game related or not, you could do streams of those and not be kicked off the service. Because for the longest time, it was games only. That's all you're going to get to do. So don't do anything else. And if you do, we'll ban your channel. With them opening that up, it made perfect sense for me to just sort of go all in because I'm doing a mix of all three of those things. I'm creating art and illustration work all the time. Getting to stream that is a whole lot of fun. And doing collaborations with other artists live is really fun. Game streaming, of course, is something I already did and love doing. And then I've got a huge slew of podcasts that I'm constantly doing where they're not necessarily in the topic of gaming. So it was nice to bring that all back into the fold. What I didn't expect is right away, they gave me Partnership, which is this program where people can now subscribe to your channel. And many of them just give the free $4.99 sub they get with their Prime membership to it. Now that Amazon's done that thing with Twitch, a whole different story, but that's a way to monetize the channel. The way this cheering system works, to get back to your original question, I don't actually know yet. I know that it exists in there And I know what people can do is go spend some sort of space money, real money, basically, but they can kind of convert it over to these bits or whatever. And then people in the chat can like cheer for you and something cool happens that they liked or whatever. And it costs them money to be able to do those. To me, it would be like, it's a good example. Imagine if you're at a football game and every time you went, go, you yelled go team, that was going to cost you a microtransaction to yell that. And it might look really good and be animated and all that stuff, but it's a little thing that you paid for. That I feel like is a model I can get my head around more, because this is sort of a thing you can build up and have sort of a reserve of. It's like your little ammunition there. And you might think, man, I've enjoyed this stream so much, I am totally going to put one of these cheers up here and, you know, way to go. And then everybody makes a little bit of money. I don't think, and I could be wrong about this again, because I'm kind of new to the whole cheer thing, but I don't think the creators get a cut of the cheer stuff. I think that might just be Twitch. But like I said, they're all experimenting with weird ideas on how to monetize this brave new world of live streaming content. And they're getting into mobile streaming. And if you combine that with everybody else doing their stuff with Facebook Live and Periscope and everyone else, you're going to see I think for the next couple of years, you're going to see everybody trying to narrow down how can money be made in this process that isn't just pre-roll ads. And I am super excited to see how it all pans out in the end. But yeah, Twitch, YouTube Gaming, and others, they're going to be the main places you're going to see this kind of experimentation. But $500 for a content or for a comment for 5 hours? No thanks.
Well, I mean, you can also just pay $1 so that your name changes color. So it's like a different color than everybody else in the live stream. You can have that. It's not $500 was the highest. 5 hours is the longest you can go. But yeah, I mean, I've heard people comparing this to a tip jar, which I think is a faulty comparison because, you know, if I'm tipping a musician on the street, that doesn't give me permission to, you know, shout in his ear for 5 hours or just have, you know, what I'm saying, have him like look me in the eye and hear what I'm saying and have everyone else hear what I'm saying. Same with if I'm tipping someone, you know, who's waiting tables. Like, it's the same thing. It's like, hey, I'm tipping you because I think you're doing a good job, not because I'm demanding something from you,
I think what we're doing is we're learning that there are new social norms and mores in this new stuff. Like, there's just no way of getting around it. It's easy for me to want to apply traditional thinking to this, like tip jars or whatever you want to compare it to. And then you just realize, well, there are just too many things that are different about it. You know, there are thousands of people in a live stream. Like right now, there's somebody playing an old Sonic game and how's it go? Whatever it is. I forget the name of it. But they do this Games Done Quickly series on Twitch every year. And they play these old games and people tune into the 150,000 live chat room audience size. It's crazy. And the chat room's just flipping past at a million miles an hour. And it's not even really a thing you can pay attention to or watch. But that's not the same as me and you at a music festival and stopping by somebody's booth who's playing acoustic music on a guitar. It doesn't have the same capacity. It doesn't have this idea of how are you going to filter through 180,000 people at once. Like, it's just new rules, new time, new place. And that's still being decided. And much of it is being decided by the communities themselves. So when you go to Twitch and you go to a channel and you see how people are behaving and what some of those norms are, that's stuff that the community has helped build and then solidify and now is the norm. They are the expectations. It's kind of like if you go to a restaurant in the States, you're weird if you don't tip. If you go to a restaurant in France, they think you're weird for tipping. But there's a good example. We're looking at somebody playing right now in Rocket League, and these kind of games and some of these Twitch guys there and some of these guys on YouTube Gaming are so big. They're enormously popular people, and they get people in there by the hundreds, the thousands, sometimes the hundreds of thousands. So what are you to do with that? Mm-hmm. Well, you have to figure it out. It's a weird new place. This has never existed in the technological history of mankind. This is brand new, man. And even though it's been going on for the last few years, it's been very fledgling. It's about to go bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's not going to stop. And pretty soon, all the big media brands get involved. And before you know it, everybody's involved in everything. And then we're going to have a mainstream world that learned whatever lessons we're learning right now. So that's the attitude I have to take about it, because otherwise, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at in your career, what age you are. Something changes this drastically, and you're like, well, this isn't how it's supposed to be. This is how it used to be in my day. And you can't. because it's new rules, new time, new place, and we're just going to have to sort of go with it. But I really enjoyed it so far. Like, my efforts on Twitch have tripled since they made that announcement, and I'm seeing audiences double, in some cases more, live audiences. I've seen the podcast feed get more downloads because of it. I've seen way more participation from people and interaction. Like, it's there's a realness to this that cannot be denied. The question is, how does it get paid for, and how weird are we willing to get?
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate your honesty about it, because, I mean, we really do come at this at the two very different ways. I mean, we are ad supported, and I work for a company. I work for Leo, and, you know, you work for yourself. You have your own network. You went out there, you created it. You have Patreon, you have Twitch, you mm-hmm. have YouTube, and, you know, that's the way you're doing it, which is different. And same with Tom Merritt. I mean, I love what you guys are doing with Patreon. It's never felt like what I wanted to do. I hope that everyone doesn't think I'm a crazy feminist for bringing this up, but it is something when I ever come up on the topic of Patreon, I do feel like it is very different for a man to have a Patreon for his creation than it is for a woman. And do you agree with me, or what do you think about that?
That's interesting. I am fully aware that sometimes, like, this goes back to my comic strip, which people can find at myextralife.com. I'm not trying to promote it here or anything, but it goes to your point. I'll go months and months and months, comic a week, every week, all dealing with various issues. And someone will point out to me, Scott, there's not a single lady in any of the comics you've done for the last 6 months. And there are no people of color. They're just all kind of lumpy, fat, white guys. And I look at it and go, oh yeah, they kind of are, right? So I think sometimes we just don't see it, you know, we don't see the forest for the trees sort of thing. But I could totally see that. But I think it's across the board. I don't think it's just Patreon. I think women in YouTube have a harder time. I think women in Twitch have a harder time. There's a certain aspect of the audience that comes out of the woodwork that is there purely to harass that I just don't see. They don't come to my channel. They're going to channels where they feel like they can do that. For whatever their motivations are, they may be 13. I don't know. These are all questions we can't answer. But absolutely, there is a divide there. The hard part is guys like me recognizing it when it's happening, because you just don't know, because we don't see it, right? So I'll go along and just think, here I am in my little bubble of who I know and how I know them, and it's all great and well and everything. But if I was some young upstart, you know, female gamer trying to get on Twitch and trying to make a difference, I'm guessing she's going to get way more resistance than I am. I think that's just the truth of it. And I don't know, you know, we're not going to solve that problem here on the show, obviously, but I think it helps to recognize it. It helps to acknowledge it, and certainly helps to, especially for those of us who it's easier. It's easy for me to say, right? It's easy for me to say, oh, it's fine. No one's really that weird on Twitter, but I'll just block them if they're being weird anyway. It's not quite the same for my daughters or my female friends or maybe even you, you know? So I totally get that. And I think I agree with you there, especially when it comes to this kind of exposure. We're really putting ourselves out there in 2017 in a way that we've never done in human history. We're putting a camera on us. It's locked on us. It's holding us there. We're talking about personal things where we're scratching our noses, we're don't care what the lighting is, our hair's a mess. Like, we're really as intimate as we've ever been as a society. And we're sending that out in some cases to hundreds of thousands of people simultaneously. That has all sorts of repercussions that we probably don't even understand. And I find it fascinating at the same time as I find it kind of troubling. But I don't know. I feel like history is a rising road. This stuff always ends up in an optimistic place, in my opinion. And we're just kind of going through that weird time where we're not sure if someone will pay $500 for 5 hours. We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think whenever you enter the idea of paying for someone's attention, I think it's worth it to think about, like, what does that mean for a man versus what does it mean for a woman? And Kevin, our editor, was saying, you know, he has friends who do YouTube gaming, and there's already a money. There's, like, you know, he has a friend who will get a donation. Like, there's someone who paid him a certain, like, $2,000 or something to play a character with this color clothes. And, you know, so it already happens. You're right. It's created by the community. But it's, sure. Yeah, it is interesting.
It's like anything. It's fraught with peril. It's a thing that has to be navigated. But I don't know. Like, you know what's going to happen today, Megan? Here's what's going to happen today. you and I just had an extremely reasonable back and forth about an issue that's really complex and nuanced, and we could probably have an entire show dedicated to it. Real issues to discuss and think about and empathize with and all this stuff. But we are going to probably get some emails from people saying, I love that conversation. That was great. You should have more of these. I'm so glad Scott talked about what he said, and I'm so glad Megan brought it up, and you're going to get those. And you're going to get a whole bunch of other emails from people saying, I can't believe you brought up some feminist agenda on the show today or something like that. Like, that's a possibility. I'm not saying it will, but it's very possible. And we just have to get through it. Like, at some point, reasonable conversation will win out. And I love these issues because they enlighten me. They put me in places I hadn't thought about. I can create, I have empathy for things I hadn't thought about before. People can see things from my perspective. So, like, we're doing Zeus's work here. It's a good thing to have these conversations and to talk about it, especially when facing a brave new future of media consumption that involves this kind of stuff. And absolutely, those conversations are important to have in a world of anonymous internet users who may or may not be there because they have your best interests at heart. So I'd be really curious what kind of feedback you get. I hope it's mostly positive.
I hope so, too. But yeah, I mean, one more thing on this. I think that you, when I was thinking about what you do versus what someone, you know, a lot of YouTubers do, is you have actual creations, like physical creations. You're an artist. You have comics. You sell things with your art on them. So I think that's a little different. Like, there's, you know, there, you're used to exchanging money for something that you've created. You have books, that sort of thing. So I think coming up at it that way is different. When you have someone who's just like, I'm a YouTube celebrity and I do nothing, I think it's a little different. And people just want their attention and you wonder why.
Yeah, those are valid questions. I mean, there's some... There are people who have a YouTube following or a Twitch following or some sort of, you know, Instagram following or whatever it may be, Snapchat, who are getting it purely because they're celebrities. So their exchange rate is, I made a movie or I'm on a TV show or I'm popular for whatever the reason is. And you're here for this extra bit of thing about my life. And that's the exchange. That exchange is an odd one. You know, there's not a lot of... back and forth. It's really just, you're an attractive person for whatever reasons you're attractive to me. And I get to come kind of be a little voyeuristic and see another part of your life. In the case of me and lots of people like me, my friend Bill Duran, who does Punish Props, many others who are making, in some cases, physical goods, sometimes digital goods, but are making products really. And I think even podcasts can be considered that. Those are a different level of exchange rate. So now the relationship with your listeners or viewers, they are getting, in some cases, hard goods in exchange for this kind of personal exposure, but also, you know, they're paying money for work they're getting. And it's definitely different. But this just helps illustrate how nuanced this is. There is no such thing as, there's no black and white way to look at this. And every YouTuber and every popular Twitch streamer and every popular whoever, they're all going to have these caveats, these differences, these nuances. And I think it's important to remember that, that none of these are the same. So we haven't probably helped anybody today, but I can tell you that sometimes acknowledging the complexity of things is a really, really good first step for me anyway. I'll speak for myself. That really helps me to be able to sort of navigate that path better. And, you know, we've at least done that.
Mm-hmm. And go to twitch.tv/frogpants to see more of Scott. I think you helped. You might have helped someone.
Maybe.